Good morning. I see we have a cleavage of the ages here. Most everybody on this side is over 20, and most everyone over this side. And as is typical of most of us, I suppose all of the very shy, retiring people are sitting in the back, and all the bold people are on the front, which is about normal. I guess there's nobody bold here. We're going to talk this morning for about the next half hour about something that I think is intensely important to us as young people, and I'll include myself in your group, if you don't mind, for the next few moments. But before we begin, let's bow our heads for a brief word of prayer. Our kind Father in heaven, as we come now to thy word, we pray that the power that invested thy servants of old to write these words might be present with us as we read. May the words, the thoughts, the concepts that we speak be from heaven and have impact upon our lives to make us the kind of young people we should be for thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to reflect to you a question that you have heard before, that you may have even asked before. It's one that I think has probably been around ever since there have been people. The question is, what's wrong with? You ever ask that? What's wrong with going to the movies anyhow? What's wrong with an occasional marijuana cigarette, a joint every once in a while? I don't really smoke them regularly, maybe just once every month. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with necking and petting? Especially if we're going to be married, you know, engaged, or engaged to be engaged. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with watching a little TV on a Sabbath? What's wrong with? What's wrong with? Now, I know that you've asked those questions before. I'm not going to ask you when you've asked them. All of us have asked those questions if you're over the age of two. And many times that question or those questions come in conflict with our Christianity. They are the kinds of questions that keep us from being the kinds of Christians we really want to be, because somewhere underneath our conscious level, there is something that says, it's wrong, I think. And because we really think it's wrong, but we can't make sense as to why it's wrong, we have conflicts. One of the biggest conflicts that bothers the minds of young people. I want to read a text to you. It's 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. And 22nd verse. It doesn't really help us out at all. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Has that text ever got you in trouble? You're doing something that you think is perfectly clean, perfectly cool, perfectly nice, but someone in the church doesn't like it. One of the old sisters comes up and she says, Sonny, you shouldn't be doing that. And you wonder why? What am I doing? I'm pure and clean and innocent. You shouldn't do it because it looks bad. Or your parents may have said, now, John, we know and we trust you. There's nothing wrong with you doing such and such, but it just doesn't look right. What in the world does that have to do with the price of beans in China? That's got nothing to do with why I'm doing something that's perfectly acceptable. Why do they keep getting on my back? Because the Bible says, avoid the very appearance of evil. So that restricts our freedoms a little bit more. And sometimes we as Seventh-day Adventist young people, as we grow up, we feel like the world is closing in upon us. I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't do the other, I can't do this because it's wrong, this looks wrong, that smells wrong, someone else thinks this looks wrong, so what am I going to do? All I can do is sit at home on Sabbath afternoon and twiddle my thumbs and read the Bible. And that's not very much fun. What's wrong with? What's wrong with? I want to talk about two things this morning before we get back to what's wrong with. Now, I want you to take that thought about what's wrong with and put it in the back of your head. We're going to come back to that at the end. I want to talk about two things that lead us back to where we want to end up. There are two things that you have to deal with as young people. One of these is the nature of sin, and the other is the nature of God. Sin is a peculiar kind of thing. I want to give you a little bit more background by turning to the book of Jeremiah, the 17th chapter, and I'm going to read a text that you may or may not agree with. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. How many folks in here are willing to raise their hands and say, I have a desperately wicked heart? A little bit wicked? Slightly wicked. Pretty good heart. There we go. I mean, everybody agrees. You aren't going to put yourself in the category of having a desperately wicked heart. Are you desperados? You guys look clean and probably smell fairly decent, the owner I'm doing and stuff like that. Does that mean that your heart is desperately wicked? How can such nice, upstanding, clean, Seventh-day Adventist Christian young people have desperately wicked hearts? Is your heart really desperately wicked? Do you wake up in the morning and stand in front of the mirror as you brush your teeth and say, desperately wicked heart? Do you really believe that? I mean, you see guys, you got guys in the paper that go out and they murder people, they shoot them, they stab them, they rape them, and you'd say, I'd never do a thing like that. Never, never, never. Ever crossed your mind to think like that? Sure it has. I want to tell you something about the nature of sin. Sin is not only desperately wicked, but sin will fool you. Let me give you a question. We're going to put God on trial here for half a second, and we'll take him off real quick so he doesn't get too upset with us. Let's take Adam and Eve back in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve have now sinned. Now, there was only one thing God told them not to do. He said, you can eat any tree if you want to in the garden except one. Right in the middle is my tree. Don't touch it. Don't eat it. Don't take anything off of it and chew on it. Leave it alone. It's mine. And Adam and Eve sinned. They ate that tree. Now, if you were God when you came down, and Adam and Eve had sinned, and you knew they sinned. You walk along the garden, the Bible says in the cool of the evening, and Adam and Eve are hiding behind the tree with fig leaves on. You ever see a fig leaf? Kind of a big leaf. They tell me that they're very itchy and scratchy leaves. Now, I don't know why they should put a big palm leaves to hide behind. Why would they put on leaves that tend to make a person itch? So they're standing behind the trees going like so, and God's walking through the garden. He's saying, Adam, where are you? And Adam says, here I am, over here under the tree. And God walks up to see him. Why didn't God say to Adam, Adam, I told you not to eat of that tree, right? Adam said, right. Now, you and Eve ate of it, right? Right. Now, I told you that the penalty for that would be death, but I tell you what, I think that's going to be a little severe. We'll just call it slips. Okay? We'll just act as though you didn't sin. If you guys do it again, I'm going to cast you in a burning lake of fire. But for right now, what I want you to do is go back to the beginning of the garden, let's start all over again. This time, don't touch it. And Adam would say, Eve, you got that? He'd say, sure, I got it. Don't touch it. Okay, let's start all over again. And God would say, everything's hunky-dory. We'll forget that sin, forget about it. Now let's begin all over again, brand new. How many of you think that would be a pretty cool way to do things? You can raise your hand. How many of you think it'd be, that would be the best way? You, I agree. You know, wouldn't that be neat if God could have said that? How many of you think that God was all right and really coming down on them the way he did? Why didn't God just say, slips, oops, forget about it, let's start all over again? Why didn't he do that? Anybody got an answer? Well, those of you who thought that God should not have done it, what should God have done? You think he was fair in doing what he did? I want to tell you something about the nature of sin. God very well could have said, Adam and Eve, we'll forget about this first trial. Go back and do it again. It wasn't a very bad thing. He did just say to eat of fruit you weren't supposed to. Except for one thing. And that is the very nature of sin. Adam was a beautifully tall man. Probably 14 feet high. Strong, rippling muscles under golden brown skin. He was brown. Did you know Adam was brown? You didn't know that? He was... Ready. He was made... What was Adam made out of? What was he made out of? He made out of dirt. What color is dirt? You haven't seen any ready dirt in your whole life. What color is dirt? Yeah, see, brown. He may have even been black. Wouldn't that blow your mind? But anyhow, he was 14 feet tall. He was ruddy black. 14 feet tall. And Eve was about 2 feet tall, short, about 12 feet tall. And they were greatly in love. You can see them coming from the Creator's hands. You know, and after they sinned, and God came down and he said, Adam, have you eaten of the tree that I told you not to eat of? Adam said, yes. You get behind me. I'll protect you. Yes, God, I did it. I'm the one who's at fault in this whole thing. I'm the one that should be blamed. Don't bother her. She's my wife and I love her. And it's a bone taken from my heart. Is that what he said? He said, who, me? Me? Yeah, I tasted the fruit, but get out of here, Eve. See her? She's the one that did it. That one right there, the woman that you gave to me, she's the one that made me do it. It's not my fault, it's her fault. And God turned to Eve and said, Eve? And he said, who, me? God said, yeah. She said, it's not my fault. It's the snake in the tree, the snake over there. If you hadn't made the snake, I'd have been all right. The nature of sin. It took this tightly knit group and pulled it apart. The reason why God couldn't say, oops, slips, is because something had happened to Adam and Eve. And it would not have been the same, even if he had said, let's forget about the first try and start all over again. There is something about your heart that's desperately wicked. I don't care how clean you look and how Pepsodent-y your smile happens to be, you are rotten inside. Now, the woman down the block has told you that several times, hasn't she? Rotten, no good kid. Well, you are, and so am I, and so are they, and so are the folks over there. The Bible says the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? You cannot predict what you'll do. Now, I want you to put that thought also back there. Number one is the questions about why. The second thing is the fact that you don't know what you're capable of doing. Another text. I want you to pull these together as we begin talking. Hebrews, the 11th chapter. That's a chapter that talks about faith. Hebrews, the 11th chapter. We're going to look at verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Without faith, it is very hard to please God. Is that what it says? Is that what it says? No, impossible. You can't make God happy without faith. Why? Because the only other thing by which you can run your life is feeling. There are only two things that are important to you. One of them is faith, and the other is feeling. And young people, your life is a constant conflict between faith and feeling. That's why Paul said, the thing that I don't want to do is the thing I end up doing. The thing that I do want to do is the thing I end up not doing. I know what I should do by faith, and yet I don't end up doing it because I do what I feel like doing. And let me right here give you the definition of a true mature Christian. A true mature Christian is one who lives his life by faith. And we're going to find out why. The nature of sin, which tends to be destructive, and the nature of God, which tends to be uplifting. One through feeling, the other through faith. Faith is so important, and it's always been important, and unless you and I, as young people, develop faith, we'll never make it happen. Here's why. I want you to go back in your minds to where God was standing one day. He was looking out over his creation. He saw thousands and thousands of worlds. But something was missing in the mind of God. He said, there's something that I need to do. So he stepped out in space, as the old poem goes. And he said, let there be light. There was light. Then he said, let there be a firmament. There was a firmament. Then he said, let the waters under the firmament be pulled together in one place and let the dry land appear. And it happened just like that. All the water went, big earthquake came to earth. They said, I want to have trees and flowers and pansies and grass. I want all these things to come up. And all these things came up. The next day he said, I think I'll make a sun, a moon, and stars. And he did it. Sun, moon, stars, all over the place. Just like that. Shining down on a world that was full of beautiful trees and vegetation with sky, no birds, no animals. So he said, that's missing too. So the next day he said, I think I'll make some birds, animals, whales, fish, seagulls, eagles, lions, camels, pussycats, dogs, all over the place. Took him 6 days to do all of that. You can now see this world throbbing with life, teeming with activity. Then just before the sun went down on the sixth day, God said, I think I'll make a man. So he kneeled down in the dust and he toiled over a lump of clay, shaping it into his own image, a 14 to 16 foot tall replica of himself. He put his mouth on its mouth, his nose on its nose. He breathed life into it, and this thing stood up and began patting himself. You can see the loose dust falling off of Adam as he went around patting himself and shaking around. And Adam stood up. Beautiful specimen of humanity. Perfect in all of his features. Perfect in his thinking. Looked around, and what did he see? There's an elephant over there. And there's an eagle soaring in the sky. And there's God standing beside him, smiling at him. And you can imagine Adam's surprise. If you'd just been created, you'd have been surprised. And she looks around and says, what's going on here? And God says, creation. And Adam looks, and there's a camel walking along. Adam says, hey, that's neat. What is that? And God said, Adam, what would you like to call it? Adam said, let's call it a camel. God said, a camel's what it is. That's just the name I was going to give to it. Took my words right out of my mouth, right on the tip of my tongue. And Adam said, where'd that come from? And God said, I made it. You made it? When? Oh, a few minutes ago. So it looks up and there's this eagle and the screaming dive as it plays. And he says, Bless, what is that thing? And God says, what would you like to call it? He says, let's call that an eagle. God says, good name. Just the name I was going to give to it. Took it right off the tip of my tongue. We'll call it eagle. That's neat. Huh? Let that thing go, would you? And he says, who does it belong to? And God said, it's yours. He said, who made it? God said, I made it. When did you make that? A few minutes ago. He said, by the way, where did I come from? God said, I made you. When did you make me? A couple minutes ago. And the rest of these things, the lion and the cat, and the, you made them too? Sure did. Clouds. Sun. Everything you see, I made. Why didn't you let me see you? Adam, I told you that I'm God. But I'm not going to prove it to you. You've got to accept it by faith. Now, if it had been me making the world, Dick Neal, you know what I would have done? First thing I'd have done was make Adam. I would have said, let there be Adam, and single. He would appear just like that. I would have taken him and I would have shrunk him down to a miniature size, probably about 3 feet high, 3 inches high rather. I'd set him on the palm of my hand. I'd say, Adam, I'd say, yes, I am God. He'd say, okay, if you say so, I'm God. And hey, what I'm going to do? I intend to put you in a world and I don't want you to sin. And in order for you not to sin, I'm going to have to prove to you that I'm God and that what I say goes. And when I mean business, I mean business. So watch this. And I would have said, earth. Sky, sea, plants, flowers, whales, cats, kangaroos, lions, eagles, trees, world, bingo! See that, Adam? And I said, wow, yeah, I saw that. All right, now I'm God, right?
Right, you're God.
And I said, all right, back to normal size. Now I'm putting you down here and I want things to go straight because I said so. Is that it? Adam said, yes, sir. I said, don't touch that tree. And he said, no, sir, I'll never touch that tree. And he wouldn't have. You couldn't have gotten Adam to eat off that tree if you'd paid him in gold. Because he would have seen me, and he would have seen my power. But that's not the way God did it. God said to Adam, I'm God. And Adam said, okay. But I'm not going to prove it to you. And as Adam looked around, he noticed something interesting. There was a kangaroo and a kangarooess. There was a lion and a lioness. There was a peahen and a peacock. There was a cow and a bull. And there was Adam and no Adam-ess. And so he said to God, I noticed something interesting. And God said, you do? Yes. There are two lions, there are two cats, there are two kangaroos, there's two camels. There's only one of me. And God said, oh? Yeah, Adam said, where's Adam S. Let me ask a question. Did God forget to create Eve and said, oops, Adam, I'm glad you reminded me. I completely slipped my mind. I'm so sorry. Eve. And Eve created. Is that what happened? No, God said, oh, you noticed, huh? He put Adam to sleep. Don't know how he did it. The world's very first anesthetic. He took out of his rib, out of his side of rib, probably this one right here. And he took that bone and made something that you would not believe from that one little dry bone. I don't know how he did it. He created Adam from the dust, but he took that bone and he pulled it this way and he pulled it that way and he pulled it this way. And when he got done, it looked like this. And then he woke Adam up. And Adam said, and as I was saying to you, there's what is that? And God said, you noticed? He said, yeah. He said, who is that? God said, that's Eve. I said, has she been here all along? God said, no. Where'd she come from? Just made her a few minutes ago. Why don't you ever let me see you do anything? Especially the best part. God said, sorry, Adam. Every time you relate to me, it's got to be on faith. You've got to believe me because of who I am and not because of what you've seen. Now, God could easily have said to Adam, stand still and watch me make Eve. I have a question for you. Why did God make Eve that way after he had made Adam? Why didn't he make Eve first? Got any answers for that one? Did God forget? Was Eve an afterthought? The women's liberationists think that's horrible. To think that Eve would have been an afterthought. God had a specific reason for creating Eve the way he did. And I'm going to give it to you at the end if you can't think of it in the meantime. Ever since man has been formed, his relationship with God has been based upon faith. And young people, when God says, don't go to the movies, you got to say to him, okay. I accept it because I love you, because you created me, because you have the best for me, and because you said it, I'll do it. Rather than, what's wrong with it? Prove it. Show me what's wrong with it. That's not the attitude of faith. And it's important that we recognize that. Here's why. God told Adam and Eve, when you guys are working around the garden, I want you to work together. Eve, you stay by Adam's side. And Eve could have said, oh, that's a big deal. How come I got to stay by his side? Why can't he stay by mine? After all, I'm as intelligent as he is, and I'm perfect. Nobody's sin. So what's wrong with going off by myself? She could have said that, couldn't she? And in fact, one day as they were working along in the garden, Eve began working with some peonies over this way, and some pansies here, and some roses here, and before long, she found herself wandering away from Adam. We are told by the pen of inspiration that immediately as she began wandering away from Adam, she felt a sense of foreboding, a sense of uneasiness. And she thought, now God told me I should stay near Adam, and I'm not with him. I don't really feel quite right. But we are also told that she submerged those feelings. She said, oh, everything will be all right anyhow. Has that ever happened to you? You get in the car with that fellow or that young lady, and something says to you, And you say, I'm a big girl or boy, and I can take care of myself after all. So Eve said, oh, I can handle everything. And so she began walking, and as she walked along, she had noticed things that she'd never seen before. Beautiful flowers. She watched the birds flying and the peacocks cocking and all the things going on around her. And she was just really regaling herself and all of God's wonderful world. And she began talking to herself as she walked back to this. She's really wonderful. It's a shame that Adam's not here to share this with me, but it's so nice. And as she began walking more and more, she found herself near the middle of the garden. And suddenly she looked up, and there she was, standing in front of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And she continued talking to herself. She said to herself, now, I wonder why God told us not to eat that food. It looks like the other food around here. It doesn't look poisonous. Doesn't look bad. It's not mean. The tree's not. I wonder why God told us not to eat in that tree. And then she heard a voice. And the voice said, my, 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 my. What a beautiful creature you are. And Eve looked around. Who, me? Now, she knew that Adam was way back at the beginning of the garden, and she knew that wasn't God or the angels talking to her, but she was entranced by the fact that this being told her how beautiful she was. And she said, oh, thank you. In fact, said the voice, I've been all over this garden, and I've seen some fantastic creatures, but nothing quite as nice as you are. This comes from a little book, Confrontation, by E.G. White, if you want to get a copy. Tremendous little book. And he stood there, and she said, where are you? Who's talking to me? And the voice said, up here in the tree. So she looked up in the tree, and wonder of wonders, there was a snake. A talking snake. A real one talking snake. She said, a talking snake.
She said, right on.
Say, didn't God tell you you could eat of every tree in the garden? And Eve said, no, 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 no. No, no, no. Now, I want you to watch something, young people. Satan never changes his tactics. One of the first ways he gets you is to try to make you defend that which is right. Didn't God tell you you could eat of every tree? No, he didn't say eat. He told us we could eat of every tree except the one where you are. The tree. And in fact, he told us not even to touch it, because if we touch it, we'll die. Had God said that? Had God said that? No. God said nothing about touching the tree. He only said about eating it. But Eve found herself in a position where she found her back against the wall, and she was trying to justify her own self. No, John. No, John. Don't put your hands on me. I'm a nice girl. When you find yourself having to defend yourself, you are in the wrong place. Oh, come on and go to the movies this one time. It won't hurt. No, I don't believe in going to movies. When you find yourself having to defend yourself, you're in the wrong place with the wrong person. And he said, no, no, no. God said he said we could eat of every tree except that one, the one where you are. And the serpent said, oh, is that so? God told you couldn't eat of this tree. Why? Because God said if we touch that tree, or if we eat of that tree, we will surely die. And the snake said, oh, is that true? He said, I find that intensely interesting. Especially in view of the fact that I'm eating it. Eve said, mine. Tell me that again. And Eve said, God told us if we ate that fruit, we'd die. And the serpent said, that's really interesting. You mean the stuff I'm eating? And he said, yeah. He said, mine. He said, it's beginning to make sense to me now. I've heard that before. He said, God, he said, now, Eve, you don't really believe you'll die, do you? And Eve said, He said, come on. I'm eating this stuff. Right up dead. And Eve said, He said, see, I'll tell you something about this God. I know why he told you that. You see, God's not telling the truth. Why, if it was true that eating this fruit would make you die, I would be dead, right? And he said, and the snake said, well, you can believe what you see, can't you? Can't you believe your eyes? I'm eating it, and I'm not dead. So is God giving you the straight scoop or not? And now God will tell you, don't pray around premarital sex. But that's not the case. It's only going to find out if you can live with the person you want to marry later on. He'll tell you, don't use marijuana. But man, it frees up your mind. God's trying to restrict you, Eve. He doesn't want you to know what real freedom is like. Take this drug, have your mind open up, and see things as they really are. God knows that if you eat this, said the snake, I've got it. You know, Eve, I've been to every fruit tree in this garden. I've eaten pears and apples, pomegranates, persimmons. And all that time, I was just a plain old snake. Now, Eve, you've seen snakes before, haven't you? And he said, yeah. He said, have you ever talked with a snake before? And he said, no. He said, but you're talking to me. Yeah? Do you know how I got the power of speech? No. He said, as long as I was eating pears and peanuts and peaches and pomegranates, I was a plain old snake. But the moment I flew in this tree and took this fruit, I became a different snake. It blew my mind. I obtained the power of speech. And the reason why I can speak is because I've been eating this fruit. Now, if this fruit would take a little old snake like me and make him able to talk, what will it do to you? The reason why God doesn't want you to eat this is because this fruit would make you just like him.
I'm not dead. I'm a snake, and I'm talking, and because of this fruit, what you need is that fruit. And he picked it up and put it in her hand, and she stood there and took it. And he said, see, you told me if you touch it, you'd die. Are you dead? And she said, no. He said, well, if you touch it and you die, you're not dead, try some. And so Eve took some, and she put it in her mouth. And she ate it, the juices ran down, and she felt immediately a sense of vibrancy and aliveness that she never felt before. Now, I want you to notice something. The snake did not say to Eve, now, go back and send me Adam. Didn't do that. He didn't say a thing. Eve started grabbing the fruit, and she ran to Adam. And Adam, look what I've got. And Adam looked, and he knew immediately what she had. And she said, Adam, I loved you before, but now I really love you. My mind has been opened up. I'm aware of everything going on around me. Adam, take some. And Adam reached out and took some. And because of that act, you and I are where we are now. Let me ask you a question now. When did Eve sin? God had said to her, do not leave Adam's side. If you do that, you will die. That's sin. You want to revise your estimate. When did Eve sin? When she thought she was Adam's equal? Your wife will tend to you later about that one. When did Eve sin? What had God said? Don't do what? Eat. When Eve left Adam's side, had she sinned? What do you think? Shall we take a vote? I mean, after all, everything's decided by a vote. How many of you think that Eve sinned when she left Adam's side? Well, now, you're standing by Eve now. We'll put you in the Garden of Eden. And Eve says, Adam, I'm going to check these petunias over here. What would you have said to her if she began to wander away from Adam? What would you have said? Anything? Come on, what would you say? She's walking away from Adam now. What are you going to say to her? Nothing? You're going to let her go? Would you let her go, sir? You don't care. He's like, oh, Eddie, you're wrong, walk. Okay, she's walking away from Adam. Now she's standing at that tree, looking up at the tree. What would you say to her?
Not yet. Still not.
Go back? What's wrong with looking at a dumb old tree? Nothing. That's just an answer she's hoping for. The snake begins talking, and you walk up on the scene, and Eve is talking to the snake. What are you going to say to her while she's talking to the snake, and the snake is talking to her? Would you say anything to her? She'd say, I'm talking to a snake. What's wrong with talking to a snake? But is it wrong? Is it sin for me to talk to a snake? Yes or no? You don't know. I hope you don't meet any snakes on the way out of here. What do you think? Is it sin to talk to a snake? Had God said, don't talk to that snake because I'll kill you and you'll die? Well, was it sin for her to talk to a snake? No, it wasn't sin. And she would say to you, what's wrong with talking to a snake? And you would say to her, you wouldn't have any answer. Would somebody have an answer for Eve when she's talking to the snake? Somebody, please give me an answer. She said, I feel fine. What's wrong with talking to a snake? The appearance of sin. So I should be aware of the appearance of sin? But she would say, is that sin? Haven't you done that trick on your appearance? Lay that trip on them? Well, what's wrong with going to movies? Where in the Bible does it say, thou shalt not attend a movie? I mean, you're thinking this in your head, aren't you? Or where in the Bible does it say, thou shalt not have a joint every once in a while? Eve is in the same position. You know what I would say to Eve? Eve! Get away from that tree! Go back to Adam as fast as you can. She'd say, well, listen here, Doc. What's wrong with talking to a snake? I say, there's nothing wrong with it. except it's got you pointed in the wrong direction. Anything wrong with going to movies?
No.
Depending upon what direction you're pointed in. What goal do you have in life? You see, if you take off out of here, out that front door, and you say to me, Dr. Neil, I want to go to Harrisburg, I could probably figure out which direction to tell you to go in. But if you walked out the door and said, I don't care where I go, any place will do, it doesn't matter what road you take, does it? When you tell me that you are Seventh-day Adventist young people bound for the kingdom of God, it makes a difference which direction you're pointed in. And if you tell me I'm pointed toward the movie house, I can tell you that ain't the direction of heaven. Anything wrong with it? No, sir. Have I sinned by going to the movies? No, sir. Have I sinned by smoking a cigarette? No, sir. Have I sinned by taking one little old tiny drink? No, sir. But you're heading in the wrong direction. And I would say to you the same thing I say to Eve. Eve, get back to Adam as fast as you can. There's nothing wrong with what you're doing, but it sure is going to lead you down the wrong path if you keep going that way. And that's the same advice you'd give to her. The Bible gives us a text over in the book of Proverbs, the 14th chapter. I want to give it to you in closing. Proverbs, the 14th chapter. We're going to look at verse 12. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You can't trust your own feelings because your heart is desperately wicked. You are being controlled by Satan whenever you're not being controlled by God. And even though the things that you're doing may not of themselves be sin, if they're not things that God is leading you into, they will as inevitably result in sin as did Eve's little walk through the Garden of Eden toward the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The point I'm making is this. You have two ways to run your life. You can run your life by what you think, or you can run your life by what God thinks. You can do it by feeling. You can do it by faith. You can trust yourself and your impressions. You can trust God and His Word. The choice is up to you. But the end for either choice of action is inevitable. Shall we bow our heads? Kind Father in heaven, as we think this morning about our first parent, as we think about the faith that we must have to sometimes deny the things that we feel are right in order to do that which we know is right, we ask for strength to do that. Even though it makes no sense to us, we ask for confidence in Thy Word. As we read, as we study, as we think, we pray that the Holy Spirit might have His way in our lives. May we be the kind of mature Christians that will trust Christ to guide us, and without questioning will go along with what He's required because we know it's for our own good. Help us frequently to think back on history and to think about our first parents. We'll give Thee the honor and the praise and the glory for saving us in Thy kingdom because we've been obedient to Thee. We thank Thee for hearing this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.